Okay, let's open our Bibles to the New Testament and turn to Luke to start with. Luke chapter 2. We'd like to look at another word study. And this time, I want to look at peace. The last time we were together on a Wednesday, I looked at comfort. I want to look at peace. And it's another one of those studies that there are so many references. Just really need to try to consolidate it down instead of trying to look at every reference of one like this. Again, just looking at it in the New Testament to start with, and may have to try to do it in a couple of different studies. But start with, want to look at the Gospels and some of the references of the word peace, and maybe not a large amount of comment, but just working through and seeing the different contexts where we see peace. When we see the word peace in the New Testament, well, throughout the Word of God, we see the term to hold your peace. In the King James, we see the use of the word peace that way, of in a sense, be calm, you know, hold your peace, that type of thing. But when we're thinking along the line of peace, we want to think largely with what we have from the Lord. Peace with God, the peace of God, and the God of peace. That's some of the terms that stand out in the New Testament. Obviously, we think of salvation when we think of the peace of God, or peace with God, I should say, and then also how the Lord works in our lives on a daily basis, and what we have through Him. And then He is the God of peace, kind of an umbrella over the whole understanding of Him and His character. So we start in Luke 2, and we notice here at the birth of the Lord, and familiar portion here when we see the shepherds in verse 8, and the angel. And we read in verse 11, which reminds us of what the prophet Isaiah said. And so, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So then down in verse 13 and 14, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So wonderful, familiar statement that we hear quoted time and again during the Christmas season, that we have this quote of glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Later on in the same chapter, if you go through the storyline, we see there in verse 25, we see this one, Simeon, and that familiar story of that one who's waiting, as it were, until the Christ child would come. Before he would pass on. In verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel." So here's Simeon saying now he could die in peace. He had seen the Christ child. He had seen the Messiah. We go to Mark, and pressing on through the timeline a little bit of the Lord's time here on earth. And in Mark chapter 4, please, we find a miracle before us in chapter 4. And we see at the end of the chapter, following a handful of parables, and we come down 35. "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And so again, a miracle before us, as we see in the reading, and the Lord and his ability to calm the troubled storms. And so the troubled waves and the storm. And so we're reminded here of the great principles of what the Lord can do in our lives. When it's his will, he brings a peace in certain situations. Physically speaking, he can do things like this, but in a spiritual sense, he brings us peace on a daily basis, and he can calm the storms in our lives. We move on back to Luke 11, and we find a parable, which parallels into other of the Gospels, parallel passages. Luke and 11, it's a short one. It's also found in Matthew 12 and Mark 3, but we find the word peace this time. Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divides his spoils. So here is an example of a story, a parable, as you see in the other Gospels as well, speaking of a strong man and kind of the results one way or the other. But we see here someone who's able to keep peace. And so then let's move on to Luke further and chapter 19. As we move closer to the cross, we now see the triumphal entry of our Lord. Luke 19, this would parallel with what we find in John 12. In 19 and 37, we see earlier in the middle of the chapter, the Lord sends for a colt, and the colt is brought. And 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so we think there of Messianic Psalm 118. And it says, Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So here we find the Lord in his triumphal entry. He's moving ever so closer to that hour that he would speak of. In the past, he'd say, mine hour is not yet come. And yet now, as you read John 12, he's speaking of the hours here. He's at the foot of the cross, so to speak. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. He's come to do the Father's perfect will, and he's ever so close to doing this. And so you think of such a amazing and horrific thing that he would be willing to do and be exposed to at the hands of his own creation, but the result is peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We move on, Luke 24. Find peace several times in Luke. Luke 24, we find the road to Emmaus. This is the post-resurrection ministry time of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection, before he sends back to glory. And in 24, as we see those two that didn't recognize him at first, and he expounds unto them, such as verse 27, in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 32, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And then we see in 36, of course, they sit down to eat and they break bread together. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And so it goes on to talk about how, such as verse 44, he spoke of things concerning himself from the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So he's revealing himself to them in his word, peace be unto you. And so the word of God and the person of Christ, we find brings us peace. And of course, as we move on, we'll see as well, let's go to John, we see the Spirit of God also brings us peace. So you see how the Lord works in our lives. The Word, the person of Christ, the Spirit of God. John 14. So we fast forward as far as moving on to the book of John. We're going to back up a little bit time-wise as far as from where we were in Luke. We're going to go before the cross. We're back to the upper room ministry now. In chapter 13, of course, they come together, the disciples. The Lord sends Judas Iscariot to go out and to do his business. And then in 14, we see him beginning to teach about the Holy Spirit, about the Comforter, the Paraclete, that would come alongside. And he's preparing this seed truth. This is one of the examples of seed truth, things that were taught by the Lord in the Gospels that would become so important and taught in more detail in the epistles once the church began. And we find in 14, and we drop down to verse 25. These things have I spoken to you, being at present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what words of comfort as he's preparing them. I'm going away, but you won't be as orphans. You will have the Spirit of God. In the same area, let's go to chapter 16, John 16, and as he continues to teach of the Comforter and the role of the Holy Spirit in the days to come as they're getting close to the cross. And of course, following that, once the Lord ascended back to glory, Acts 2 is the beginning of the church age, the Spirit of God will come and will indwell the believers. And so he's talking about the Comforter comes. Verse 8, reminder of the person of the Holy Spirit, referred to as he, not it. And when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so in that same context, go to the end of the chapter, as he continues to talk about the Spirit of God, and as verses 12, 13, 14, the Spirit's role will be not to speak of himself, but to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good principle to remember today, that our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ and in our time of service and remembrance, we remember him. The Spirit guides us and teaches us the word. And so anyway, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So these seed truths that he's bringing out, yeah, he follows that with that high priestly prayer. He speaks to the Father as he's ever so close to the cross. And one more section in John. Let's go to John 20. We're kind of jumping back to this post-resurrection ministry that we saw in Luke. And so in chapter 20, it's interesting when you look at different of the Gospels. You compare the four Gospels, you see there's like seven times that you find the Lord ministering to people in his post-resurrection ministry. Several of those are in John. We saw one in Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. One time in Matthew, it speaks about how ones came and held him at his feet and such as that. But here, we see, first of all, there's different times he's found standing. Mary doesn't recognize him. She's weeping, and she thinks he's the gardener. And then she hears her name being called out, and then she knows it's the Lord. And then in the middle of the chapter, we see the Lord there in the room, and we see how the ten are gathered, and without Thomas. There in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And so we find this wonderful reminder of peace. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So there they were in fear, but the Lord says, be at peace. And then 8 days later, here they gather together, and this time Thomas is with them, and we find another example of the Lord standing in their midst. Verse 26, 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And so this is the great passage when Thomas, doubting Thomas, he's there this time. He had missed before. And now he says, my Lord and my God, verse 28. He's there and he believes. And so with this, we find peace being offered. Another, just by the way, in 21, you see him standing again. And that's when he calls Peter, sees him and swims to the shore. And he challenges Peter in his time of restoration for Peter, the one who had denied him. And so we go on. Let's jump over. We have time for just a little bit more. Let's go to Acts 10. We'll jump out of the Gospels for at least this one reference. Acts chapter 10. And as we go into the early church, and we see various characters, Peter being the primary character that's in this early speaker in the early chapters of Acts in the early church age. Later on, Paul, we see, will be in his missionary journeys, and he'll be the primary speaker and such. But we find in chapter 7, there's Stephen. Chapter 8, there's Philip the evangelist. Chapter 9, we see Saul, the conversion, which we know as Paul. Then we come to Cornelius in chapter 10, and we see this vision, and we see understanding of the gospel also to the Gentiles and so on. And within this context, in chapter 10, and we see Peter, after the reply of this Cornelius, Peter has an address. And in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness accepted with him the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, and so on. He continues his address. And so we see here, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And so in another study, Lord willing, we'll pick up and look at the epistles and look at peace there, and we'll find a lot of familiar passages that kind of tie up the kind of thoughts of the Spirit of God and the Word of God working in our lives and bringing peace to us. So there's several references in the book of Romans and then throughout the Pauline epistles and a handful in the general epistles as well. So the Lord willing, we'll look at Romans the next time. So with that, we'll just close. If any of the brothers want to add to that.